Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I'm delighted to welcome Christina Rost to my show. She's going to talk about one of her romantic suspense novels, bestseller. So welcome to my show, Christina.
Hi.
So let's dive right in and talk about your heroine in this story. How does she feel about love at the start of bestseller?
Okay, so my heroine, Kelly Landon, she is actually afraid to believe in a happily ever after. She's a writer, so she spends the majority of her days kind of in her head, with her head in the clouds, thinking about fictional characters. We can all get that, right?
Yep.
She kind of wonders if a happily ever after is actually attainable. She is an orphan. She is an only child. So she's sort of alone in this world, not really tethered to a certain place. And she's kind of searching for things. She sees the world through her imagination a lot of times, but there's also a lot of reality in her past that makes her hesitant to believe in that. And she also struggles with a longing for affection and affirmation. And of course, as a writer, she struggles with that too. So that's kind of where she starts off with the story, and she's very vulnerable because of that.
So what about your hero? What's holding him back from finding love?
So my hero, I think he has two things that are holding him back. He has given his heart away before, and it was broken. And it wasn't broken just in the normal sense of maybe somebody walking away, but there was a bit of tragedy attached to that. I don't want to give away any secrets from the book, but there's a tragedy attached to his broken heart. So he's very much like, okay, that didn't work out. I'm gonna kind of immerse myself in my job. And so I think that's his other kind of hang up. He's pouring all of his energy into his calling. And I always look at him as his theme song is like call to action. He likes to jump into things, get the job done. He's very focused. But when it comes to love, he trips up. So he's a little uncertain and kind of, I don't know if I want to try that again.
So, That sounds like it's going to be some nice romantic tension between those two characters. always a good thing.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the villain. And feel free to use the they pronoun if you don't want people to know who he or she is. But why this person as the villain in your story?
Okay, so this was a fun story. And my villain wasn't always the villain. So when I was starting out, and I'm a bit of a pantser, he wasn't a villain, and I thought, you know, how am I going to go with this? I like the story to unfold a little bit. I like to play with my characters. Sometimes my characters will show me who's going to be the villain, but as I started to unravel their personality a little bit more, I saw that he was very focused on this calling from his past. And I think sometimes we can be very focused on things in our past and they can cloud a person's vision. So I sort of ran with that. Yeah, I gave him kind of like this hyperfixation on this. And I thought, you know, that could be dangerous if it's, if he goes overboard. It could be just as dangerous as being like unbothered or apathetic about something. And I have my villain kind of bowling over people to push forward. So I think that's why it sort of developed that way, and that's how I guess they came to be.
So let's talk about the story setting. Why this particular setting for bestseller?
Okay, so I have two settings, Hampton Roads, Virginia, and London. And actually, while my husband was on active duty in the Air Force, we were stationed in both Hampton Roads, and we also lived in England. And so I was able to visit London several times. I loved it there. I think it's a beautiful city. It's full of history, and I feel like every stone you touch, there's a story behind it. And the East Coast is a lot like that, too.
Mm.
And there's such a big, yeah, there's such a big connection between, you know, England and the East Coast. So I thought, you know, I'm really going to do this. I wanted this to be an international series. The mystery, the intrigue, I want it to just kind of be woven throughout history. And so I kind of chose both those areas for that reason.
And so what about the genesis for this story?
Okay, so my stories almost always come from something in real life. A newspaper article, I think most writers are like this. You read a historic story or you hear somebody telling you a story and you're like, oh, I'm going to run with that one. And this is how bestseller began for me. I usually try to read a couple of nonfiction books each year. And before I started bestseller, I had just kind of dove into World War II. And I started reading Bonhoeffer, the book Pastor, mm-hmm. Martyr, Prophet, and Spy, The God Smuggler, and the story of Irina Spindler. She saves children out of the ghetto during the war. And then I watched a couple of documentaries. I'm kind of a documentary nerd. I started watching documentaries on the book burnings during that time. And as I immersed myself into that timeline, that's how my prologue was born. In my prologue, there's a young boy, and he pulls a book from one of the fires. And in his gut, he just feels guilty because, you know, the government is saying, this is right. This is what we're going to do. And when he pulls the book, he's like, I'm doing something wrong. But he pulls the book for a friend, and he knows that it's right. And so that's how bestseller begins. And I thought, what is in that book and how does that relate to present day? And then I started to write.
I love how our minds are just weird people. So readers out there, this is a little bit of a backstory and how our brains work sometimes. But yeah, that's
right.
Very interesting, Christina. So we're going to close our short time together today with, what is your book's tagline for bestseller?
Okay, it is, she's written a bestseller, now there's a target on her back.
Ooh, very suspenseful. Well, thank you for being on my show and sharing about your book.
Thank you for having me.
Next up, I have Diane Mills, and she's going to be talking about her latest romantic suspense, Lethal Standoff. So welcome back to my show, Diane.
Oh, thank you. This is an honor. Really appreciate this.
Well, I love to talk to my fellow romantic suspense authors about their books, so this is a treat for me as well. So we're going to dive right in and talk about your heroine. If she could, or if she has a pet, what would it be, and what is that pet's name in this story?
My heroine's name is Carrington, and she has a miniature schnauzer. His name is Arthur. He is lovable, very spoiled. He adores people, and he just helps her. He makes her laugh. His little antics are sweet, and he loves to jump in her lap and things of that nature. And he just helps her relax. And he is adorable. I have a picture of him.
Yeah. I love it. Pictures of our fictitious animals. That's you know, that's what we have to do as authors. So let's talk about your hero and talk about, where did he grow up? in this story?
Okay, my story is set in Houston and then southwest of Houston. So that means that Carrington not only grew up in the Houston area, but also Levi did too. He grew up in the Meyerland area of Houston, and that is a large Jewish population. He's the son of an Orthodox Jewish family and has an older sister, Deborah. He grew up very conservative Jewish with a very tight-knit family.
Ah, okay. I think that's tight-knit families can be good, and they can add that little extra tension I think that we need in our stories.
I could tell you one more little tidbit about
sure.
Levi, that Levi, about 6 months ago, in the story, he became Messianic Jew. And because he grew up in that conservative Orthodox family, they have shunned him. So that tight-knit family is no more.
Oh, yeah. Definitely some great character tension there. Let's talk about your villain. Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
He loves power. He loves control. He loves money. He feels entitled. Not so much that he feels entitled from his family, because his family feels that he's adoring and giving, but the motivation that drives him is that he feels he should have everything that is out there, and he has no problems doing whatever it takes to get what he wants.
Yeah, that's our villains, right?
Yes, that's our villains. Now, he adores his wife, and unfortunately, she has slipped into dementia. But I will say, underneath the power and control is his wife, and he just feels again that he was not given a fair shake in life. This woman that he adored barely recognizes him.
Yeah, that is tough. And let's switch to the story setting. Why this particular setting for this story?
Well, I believe that all story settings should be antagonistic. Every scene should have something about it that's antagonistic to the protagonist. And this forces the protagonist to change and grow while adapting to the setting's obstacles. The rural area of Southwest Texas challenges the protagonist because they don't know the surroundings like they do their home city. The culture of the rural community is so different from city life. The priorities, often what they do socially, and the community is a bit suspicious of strangers, whereas the villain lives in that particular area, so he is on comfortable ground while my hero and heroine are struggling in situations that they're not quite sure what is happening. And I love this part about writing suspense, that we can force those characters to do whatever they need to do, knowing that they're constantly challenged.
Yes, yeah, that is one of our privileges and challenges, I think, for our writing. So what was it about Lethal Standoff's core story that made you want to write this story? The characters, the setting, what about it made you want to write it?
Well, it's twofold, I guess. One is I have always been very interested and in awe of negotiators, those who are faced with the most challenging situations and able to negotiate the release of hostages or whatever their specialty is. And with that, I also wanted to show that that everyone has a different opinion about the undocumented immigrants that are entering our borders. This is not a book that says things should be this way or things should be that way. It's a book that explores the truth behind everybody's motives. And with that, I needed a strong negotiator who would be willing to put her life on the line to free hostages who were in line to be killed if she wasn't able to talk down two brothers who believed that the answers to their problems were to eliminate these 15 people.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a really terrific book again, but we are almost out of time, Diane. So let's wrap this up with, what's one thing you want readers to know about Lethal Standoff?
This story is about a race against the clock when dysfunction and abuse take root in a family. When God is dismissed, horrible crimes take place, and I want to show the reality of that to all my readers.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book. It's always a delight to talk with you.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. This has been an honor.
And now I'm delighted to be welcoming back to my show, first time for Quick Takes, Laura Thomas, and she's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Captured in Frame. So welcome back to my show, Laura.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah. I'm delighted.
So let's talk about your heroine, and since we write romantic suspense, we get to talk about love. So how does she feel about love at the start of your story?
That's a good question. She doesn't feel good, not good about love at the beginning. She's actually just recovering from a divorce after a 10-year marriage. She's been betrayed, lied to, hurt. She's definitely not looking for love. She's rather more trying to focus on healing and trying to find happiness again, you know, with a fresh start. Actually beginning a new chapter in a new country, but love is the furthest thing from her mind.
I bet that hero is going to change her mind, but it seems like maybe something's holding him. Yeah, I know. Yeah, spoiler alert, people. We write romantic suspense. It's, you know, the romance is there.
I know.
What about your hero? What's holding him back from finding love?
Yeah, he's got his own story going on here. My hero is Dr. Will Hughes, and he's suffered a tragic loss, and so his heart is still very tender. He's focusing on his little guy, little two-year-old Jack, and so he's trying to do the single parent thing and the surgeon thing, and again, for him, love is not on his radar.
And enter that's almost like a cue to enter the villain who's going to work to keep them apart. Or not, who knows? Maybe he'll drive them together. So, but who does your villain, who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
Well, my villain is a little bit of a complex situation, and it's always tricky because you don't want to give away spoilers.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But basically, the simple answer would be they love money the most, and greed is most definitely the motivating factor for them. So, that's pretty much all I can say about that. But it's a greed thing, which just turns very, very ugly.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a reason the Bible talks about the love of money being the root of lots of all evil. So, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of where it begins, yeah.
Yes, definitely. So let's talk about the setting for this story. Why this particular setting for this story?
Of course, I love talking about this. And so the setting is the English countryside. It's a little village in England. And in case you can't guess, I'm originally from England. And I live in Canada. I've actually lived the last half of my life in Canada. But I've been wanting to set a book back in England for a while. So this is the first book in a brand new series. And when I was there, in 2019, actually, it gave me the perfect inspiration. I'm visiting one of my sisters in her charming little village. It was that quintessential, just everything you would imagine an English beautiful little village to be. But I thought this would be great. I could do the romance, but we need a little bit of a suspense here in all this serenity. So I literally freaked my poor sister out one night. There was a storm. It was a January dreary evening. And we were sat in her living room. And I literally imagined up this huge, grizzly bearded man in a full-length oilskin coat pressed up against her French windows. And it was just one of those, oh my goodness, imagine if that happened. And I mean, I freaked myself out. I freaked my sister out. She was like, I've got to live here after this. But it was just, you know how sometimes you just have that moment of, oh my goodness, this could change everything. Serenity no more. And that was kind of my jumping off point. But it's all in this beautiful, relaxed, peaceful scene in an English village.
Oh, I love that. And which brings me to one of our next questions is about the underlying positive message of the story. Because even though we write suspense and we have the greed and the darkness there, we do try to infuse it with that positive message. So what is that positive message?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, for Catch It in Frame, I would say the overarching theme is definitely one of forgiveness and the beauty of second chances. So my desire for this particular book would be for the reader to take away the truth that with God, there's always hope and you're always loved, no matter what. I've actually got a C.S. Lewis quote that I include right at the end of the book in my author note, and he said, though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not. So that's really my message that I want to get across with this particular story.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you for sharing about Captured in Frame. And the last thing I'd like to leave for our readers is, what's your book's tagline?
Oh, of course. Postcards, photographs, paintings, something about this sweet cottage in the idyllic English countryside is worthy of murder.
Ah, very good. Now, everyone run out and buy Captured in Frame because the English countryside will never look the same.
It won't. I'm sorry about that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing today, Laura.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thanks so much, Sarah.
I'm delighted to welcome Janine Nicole to my show. She's going to talk about one of her latest romantic suspense books, Last Corner. So welcome to my show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we're going to dive right in and talk about your heroine in this book. What did she want to be when she grew up, and did she become that person?
Well, she wanted to be an accountant. And, yes, she made it, but then things went tragically wrong when she became involved in thievery.
Oh, well, that's not quite what she dreamed about as a little girl, I'm sure. Yeah, so let's talk about your hero, and I love that you picked this question. It's one of my favorites. I always like to know, what's your hero's favorite snack in Last Corner?
Well, that was a tough question because he's got a bit of a sweet tooth and a secretary who loves to bake. But I'd probably say chocolate chip cookies.
And who doesn't like chocolate chip cookies? I mean, this is a great snack to have. I might have to have one when we're done with our interview now that you've put that thought in my head. So thanks a lot. I love it that we have romantic suspense authors, we have villains. So what's one redeeming quality about your villain? And feel free to use the they pronoun if you need to keep his or her identity a secret.
I'd say loyalty.
Okay, and why is that?
Because, they are a very loyal person to a fault.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And what about the story setting? Why this particular setting for this book?
Well, I chose California because they have many wealthy communities and celebrities, and it's not too far-fetched to believe that a Robin Hood-like character could be paroled there to a rich, unforgiving society and then be suspected of murder.
Ah, okay. Yep, they do have a lot of interesting people in California, don't they? So what was it about this particular story that made you want to write it?
I think it's important to show that with God's help, people can, in fact, change, and that no one should be sealed inside the mistakes of their past, especially after they've paid their debt to society.
Ah, okay. And, yeah, that is so true, and our faith can really help us in those situations, I think. Now, we are going to close out our short time together today with what's one thing you want readers to know about Last Corner?
It's quite a ride, and I hope they enjoy it.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Janine, so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And now I'm talking with Kathy McDavid about her latest romantic suspense releasing this month, Deadly Secrets. So welcome back to my show, Kathy.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
So let's dive right in and get to talk about Deadly Secrets. And start with your heroine. I'm not sure this is exactly a secret since you're going to answer the question. but what did your heroine want to be when she grew up? And did she end up becoming that person?
Yeah, she did. She really did want to go into law enforcement. She is a deputy sheriff in a small fictional town in southeastern Arizona, and her father's a police officer, and she did want to follow in his footsteps, she's from a somewhat traditional Hispanic family, and so her dad always assumed that her brother would be the one to go into law enforcement. He did not. She did, but it worked out well, and she is loves what she's doing. So she's really took a chance. She's trying to make her way in a very male-dominated field. So.
Yes, yeah, that's great. I love it when we can give our heroines the chance to be what they wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about your hero and what is his greatest fear in this book?
Well, this was part of the Harlequin Love-inspired suspense, and they kind of their little sub stories about cold cases. So this is a cold case book, and his father died 18 years ago in what everyone says was a fall, but he has always believed was his father was killed. It was a little suspicious at the time, and no one has believed that his father was an alcoholic, not necessarily a great guy. Not necessarily a good husband, or though he loved his family, he let the family ranch go into ruin, and so a lot of people said, he was just a drunk, and he was drinking. So, but my hero Ridge always believed his father was killed because of some evidence at the scene, and his greatest fear really is that he'll find out his dad wasn't killed and he did just die, and all these years he's held on to a belief that turns out to be not true.
Yeah, so with Deadly Secrets, there has to be a villain. So what is one redeeming quality about your villain?
I guess I had a lot of fun writing this because I did make my villain kind of a different version of my hero's father, and that they have a lot of the same good qualities, that they both love their families. They both are very loyal. It's just that, unfortunately, my villain is loyal to the wrong people, and he's loyal to the criminal element in town. But he is, oddly enough, a devoted family man, and treats his family very well. So, as did my hero's father. So I thought that was kind of interesting to make them a little bit of two different versions of the same man.
Yes, 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 exactly. And you mentioned the setting in Arizona. And how do you how did you use where it's set to move the story forward?
Well, it was always going to be, I knew, a small town that would be a good transportation point for bringing illegal drugs into the country. So I did have to choose a town that was both close to the southern border and remote enough that, you know, nefarious activities could go on somewhat unnoticed. I won't say unnoticed, because obviously the town people noticed it, but, you know, flying a little bit under the radar, so to speak, you know, that they were remote enough that a criminal element could get away with a lot.
Right.
And which they did for many, many years. At the time the story opens, that criminal element is sort of subdued at the moment because of some, there was sort of a new sheriff in town and had a crackdown on crime policy. So, you know, but that was, I wanted to choose a setting that was both allow the villain element, you know, to, and the suspense element to exist, but also my heroine, in wanting her personal goal to advance in a career of male, that is a male-dominated career, and that's hard for a woman to advance in, she needed a smaller town where she would have less competition and a little bit opportunity for more recognition. So that also helped with her.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, it sounds like your book was a lot of fun to write, but what was the hardest part of writing the book?
My other love and spark suspense have always been more of man versus nature, which I really enjoy. And most of my suspense, even the ones that aren't love and spark, have been more man versus nature rather than a criminal element. But this one, very much police procedure, which I've not done a lot. So I had far more research in this book. And how sheriff's departments operate are different than how police departments operate, which is something I had to learn right away. So I had to be very correct in how I handled it. And I don't, you know, not that anybody really needs to know this, but, you know, sheriff's jurisdictions sometimes differ from police jurisdictions. So, for instance, my hero's father's homicide actually fell into the jurisdiction of the police because that was a homicide investigation. But, you know, my heroine is a sheriff's deputy. So it's kind of interesting.
Right.
So I had to do a lot of research and make sure that I was correct, you know, how the ranks are, who's in charge. All those are different in a sheriff's department than in a police department. So that was kind of interesting to learn all that.
Yes, and hopefully you'll be able to use it in future books.
Yeah,
so.
I will. And a remote town also operates very differently than a large city.
Yes, of course,
That was another aspect, yeah.
Yeah, I love that we can learn all these things and then just use them as we write other books. So we are almost out of time.
Okay.
Kathy, what is your book's tagline before we close?
Oh, let me say that. Okay. Ridge has returned home, determined to reopen the long-gone cold investigation into his father's homicide, struggling to prove herself. Rookie Deputy Sheriff Elena agrees to help Ridge find the answers he seeks, a decision that puts them in danger when their actions threaten to expose the town's secret criminal element. Long tagline.
Oh. Yeah, I know. I like it. That's great. Well, everyone, you can go out and get Deadly Secrets and find out what those secrets are. So thank you so much for sharing, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate it.
I'm delighted Darlene Turner is joining me again to talk about her upcoming romantic suspense release, Canine Ranch Protection. So thanks for coming back to my show, Darlene.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'd love to be here.
So we're going to talk about your heroine, and I love this question. It's one of my favorites in the list I give authors to choose from. What did your heroine want to be when she grew up, and did she actually become that person?
Yes, she did. Isabel Trombley idolized her chief constable father. So she knew she always wanted to become a police officer, and that's exactly what she did. Izzy also has something called hyperthymesia. It's where she remembers everything in detail. So if you've ever watched the show Unforgettable, you'll know what I'm referring to. So having a perfect memory has helped her in her policing career, but something happens at the beginning of the book to cause her to lose a window of her memory, and this totally turns her world upside down because she doesn't know what to do with it, because like I said, she's had a perfect memory all her life.
And that that is really devilish of you, Darlene, if I may say so.
I know, right? Yeah, I put a little things in the whole amnesia.
Yeah, well, the things we do to our characters. Anyway, so right. Let's talk about your poor hero or your wonderful hero in this book. What's his greatest fear?
Abandonment. You see, his birth parents gave him up for adoption, and he doesn't know why. And this has played havoc on his self-confidence because he's questioned, why would they abandon me? And it was something he's struggled throughout his whole life. But as the story progresses, he finds out more, and that's all I'm going to say. He finds out more, but then in the end, he has a little bit of that fear come back. And again, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I don't want to give away my ending.
No. Don't. No, keep that under wraps. So let's switch to your villain. And feel free, like I tell my authors, if you need to cloak their identity, use the pronoun they, that's fine. Who or what does your villain love the most in this story?
His daughter, because she's sick. And ultimately, this is why he does what he does in the story, to get more money for her care. There are some other reasons, but again, I don't want to give away anything more, mm-hmm. but you'll have to read it to find out.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, and I think that when we have our villains, our bad guys having, you know, they have sometimes good goals. They just go about them in a in a bad way, and that's just more understandable sometimes in those situations. So, let's switch to the story setting. Why this setting for canine ranch protection?
Well, the story is set in the wintertime in a fictional small town in British Columbia and mostly on a ranch. BC is a beautiful province, and I like the idea of putting a ranch with lots of dogs in the story. So Neve, who is my main canine character, is an Alaskan Malamute. And she's actually modeled after a childhood friend's dog, and she even let me use her name. Neve means snow in Latin.
Mm.
Oh, and something else that's fun is there is a Nancy Drew reference in the book that I had a lot of fun writing in. You'll also meet some of the other dogs and characters in the setting and in my new series that I'm working on. So that's fun. It's just, I love the idea of having a ranch in the wintertime in British Columbia. It's just the perfect setting.
Ah, lovely. And it's nice that so your readers will get to preview some upcoming characters in other books. That's always fun.
Exactly.
I always like to do that as well. So let's talk about the...
When we do that.
Yeah. It's just so much fun. So much fun. So what is the underlying positive message of this story?
Canine Ranch Protection is about trusting in God's perfect plan for our lives. Sometimes we tend to go ahead of God and make things happen. Well, he truly does know what's best for us, and we need to leave everything to his timing. So Izzy and Austin learn they have to do the same.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? That's a hard lesson, though. For those of us who like a little more control, not that
sure.
I'm thinking of myself or anything.
Hey, we're all guilty of that. Yeah.
We are. My goodness. All right. Well, we need to close our short time today with, what is your book's tagline?
A killer on the loose, a canine keeping watch.
Ooh, that just sums it up right there. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Canine Ranch Protection.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.